Come on, church. It is so good to be here with you today. I am so pumped to be sharing the word with you today. Yeah, just as Kantia shared, my name is Bradley, for those that do not know. And yeah, I've been part of Freedom Church for about 4 or 5 years now. And yeah, it has been absolutely amazing. And we are in a series right now called Do Not Be Afraid. And it's all about fear and how God has given us the strength to overcome fear. Now, when I was preparing this message, I was like, what do I want to talk about? Because fear is a very, you know, wide topic. But I looked at my life, and I want to share a little bit about my testimony. Can I do that, church? So, a little bit more about myself. I grew up here in Cape Town. I'm a Capetonian, if you can tell by my accent, yes. And I spent my whole life in Cape Town, and up until I was 18 years old, I had a very chilled life. Now, I grew up in an area called Philippi East. For those that do not know, it's located in the Cape Flats. Now, I had a pretty chilled life up until I was 18, but when I was 19 years old, something happened to me that really changed my life, but really traumatized me and really put a spirit of fear in my heart. Now, what happened was something that really affected me. I had a lot of trauma, but I can remember it like it was yesterday. It was in the afternoon when this happened. We were relaxing in our home, and two guys came in with guns. So it was an armed invasion, and there was a struggle between us and them, and unfortunately, a family friend of who we were staying with at the time got shot in the face. Now, the reason why I'm starting the message with this is firstly, this family friend survived. Secondly, God has healed me and set me free from trauma. And because of that, today, I want to tell you something, church. Fear is not my future. And I believe that fear is not your future as well. And so that is the title of today's message. Now, worry and fear is something that is very interesting. And in our group recently, my wife and I, we lead our Newlands group. So we meet on Wednesdays. Hey, come on, group. Awesome. If you haven't found a group, now you know where to go. So we lead our group, and we've been doing a Bible study of the New Testament recently, and it has been absolutely amazing. And as I was preparing the preach, I found inspiration in some of the things that we've been learning there. And so in the book of Matthew, Jesus does the Sermon on the Mount, which is basically where he teaches a lot of people, about 5,000 or more people. And he does talk about fear and about worry. I'm paraphrasing, but he says that God provides for the birds that are in the sky. So what more of us who are created in his image? And also, Jesus calls us to trust in God, but also he says that fear does not add anything to our lives. Now, from that, and from what we know about God's character, so God is calling us to trust him, to surrender ourselves to him, and also to build his kingdom. Now, the funny thing is that the world has an opposite perspective about this. Nowadays, fear is something that has been normalized in our society. The first thing that I can give you an example of is social media. For us, I'm sure we know what FOMO is, right? It's fear of missing out. Imagine we have even normalized the fear, right? And even social media in itself, it's something that makes us compare one another. It makes us anxious about ourselves, or what do I need to post next so that people can know what's happening in my life. And even makes us feel insecure about where we are and where we are going. Another thing is advertisements on TV. I'm sure there's a lot of things that you guys have bought out of fear of not having it when there's a certain scenario that will happen. But another big thing is health consciousness. Now, health consciousness is very important, guys. It's very important to take care of yourself and take care of your health. But there's been a big movement in this world where health consciousness has been used against us to make us feel fearful and make us buy certain things or make us do certain things out of fear of aging or out of fear of potential risks that you've never even had in your family. And so fear is a very, very interesting thing. Now, the reason why we feed into this fear is not because it's good for us, but rather we want to be in control of our destiny. You see, control is something that is very tasty, guys. It's like mayonnaise. I really love mayonnaise. And fear is very, very tasty. When you get that control of like, you feel like I'm in control of this, I'm in control of that. It feels very good. Now, recently on Instagram, there was this guy that was, I don't even know if I can call it preaching, but he was just sharing his perspective. And he was like, you are not a real man if you are not self-made. Yo, guys, that made me feel interesting, eh? I really had to check myself. And this is how the world makes us feel. But in that moment when I processed it, I realized something. I'm like, you know what? Being self-made is temporary, but being God-made is eternal. You see, when we surrender our control and we say, Jesus, you know what? Take the wheel. You can have it all. We do it because we know that he has a plan and a purpose for us that is better than we can ever imagine. And so, church, I want to encourage us today. Surrender is beautiful because Jesus has something for us that we can never accomplish through our own strength. Now, in the Bible, there's many stories that we can look at and learn from. And there's one in particular where we can see how fear can affect our lives, but also the people around us. So we're going to be reading a little bit about the story of Abraham and Sarah. So we're going to be reading from Genesis chapter 15. First scripture is from 1 to 5. And so to preface this, Abraham and Sarah are growing old. And Abraham has a lot of things, a lot of property and a lot of things. And he's like, Lord, I do not have an heir. I do not have a child that will take over. And then this is what the Lord said. So after this, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abraham. I am your shield, your very great reward. But Abraham said, Sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless and the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus? And Abraham said, You have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. Moving on. Then the word of the Lord came to him. This man will not be your heir, but a son who is of your own flesh and blood will be your heir. He took him outside and said, Look at the sky and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Then he said to him, So shall your offspring be. So the first part of the scripture gives us a picture of what happened. God had promised Abraham that you are going to have children that is as many as the stars in the sky. Now, God had promised this to him, but if we look at chapter 16, this is what their response was out of fear. So in Genesis chapter 16, verse 1 to 6, Now Sarai, Abraham's wife, had borne no children, but she had an Egyptian slave named Hagar. So she said to Abraham, The Lord has kept me from having children. Go sleep with my slave, and perhaps I can build a family through her. Abraham agreed to what Sarai said. So after Abraham had been living in Canaan for 10 years, Sarai, his wife, took her Egyptian slave, Hagar, and gave her to her husband to be his wife. He slept with Hagar, and she conceived. When she knew she was pregnant, she began to despise her mistress. Then Sarai said to Abraham, You are responsible for the wrong I am suffering. I put my slave in your arms, and now that she knows she's pregnant, she despises me. May the Lord judge between you and me. Your slave is in your hands, Abraham said. Abraham said, Do with her whatever you think is best. Then Sarai mistreated Hagar, so she fled from her. So we can see that in this story, Abraham was given a promise by God. And out of fear, him and his wife decided to do something that would take control of the situation because they were fearing that they were old and that God's promise would not come to pass. And Sarai did this because it was a mechanism of allowing her to take control of the situation and feeling self-fulfilled. Now, church, I want to ask us today, what are areas in your life that you have taken control of out of fear that God won't be faithful? Is it unforgiveness? Maybe you're holding on to a grudge because you don't want to forgive because that same person might hurt you again. Maybe it is relationships. You have decided to go in to a relationship that is not for you because you are lonely and think that God won't bring the one for you. Another one could be church hurt. I'm sure all of us have sometime experiences. Maybe you've been coming here for a while and you've been hurt by a previous church. And so after church, you run away and you're like, no, I don't want people to get to do life with me because there's a potential that I might get hurt. Now, this is a plug for you to stay after church. But on a more serious note, church, I wanna press this point further because I think some of us maybe do not understand what I'm trying to say. I want to ask you, when last did you pray a prayer like this? Lord, if this person that I'm seeing right now or this relationship is not from you, then I want you to destroy it right now and let this person go away. How many of us have prayed a prayer like that recently? You see, that's the point I'm trying to get to. Or here's another one. Lord, if this job that I'm about to get is not from you, then I don't want this job because it'll pull me away from your presence. With the current unemployment rate, that second one is rough. But church, let me give you another testimony. You see my beautiful wife, the one that's standing here, eh? Isn't she beautiful? Come on. When we were dating, she would pray this prayer. And now we are 1 year in, guys. Married. So if God can do it for me, he can do it for you, church. If we trust in his faithfulness, he will come through. And no matter what we do, we can see from the scripture, but even from our own lives, no matter what we try to do to take control of situations or change our destiny, we cannot do it. We cannot overcome the fear of tomorrow through our own strength. And I do not say this lightly, church, because I have struggled with this myself. Now, I'm sure you remember at the beginning, I shared my testimony and a little bit about, you know, what happened. Now, God has set me free from that, and that is true, but it was not an overnight thing. You see, the reason why this bed is here is to represent something. The months and the weeks after we were attacked, I could not sleep. So I would go to bed, and every time I would close my eyes, I would see the blood that was on the floor. And it made me sleepless. So to take control of the situation and to make myself feel more comfortable and to even make myself sleep because I couldn't sleep, what I would do was I would sleep with a knife under my pillow. So that if anyone would come, I would be able to take care of the situation. Now, church, I want to ask you this question. What is keeping you up at night? Is it unforgiveness? Maybe it is a fear of dying alone. What is keeping you up at night? Maybe it's your finances. You feel like, yo, I don't know. What is keeping you up at night? And also, what is the thing that you're doing that is not only a danger to yourself, but a danger to the people around you? You see, church, having this knife under my pillow was not the best that God had for me. Yeah. It was not the best that God had for me, church. And although it was making me sleep at night, this thing could hurt me or hurt the people around me. And it was in the deepest and darkest moment of my life where I felt like I was not going to live the next day, that God came to me and said something to me and revealed something to me. It was in that moment of my darkness that God revealed to me that God's faithfulness is bigger than my greatest fears. Amen. That in any situation that I am in, God is faithful enough to heal me. God is faithful enough to take me out of this situation and restore my heart. And so, to end us off, what did I do to overcome this fear? I didn't do it through my own strength. And one thing that I would like to give you today to go home with is to surrender the wheel to Jesus and he will drive your fear away. And what I mean by that is I'm going to read some scripture before we go on. And I'm going to read from Luke chapter 22. So this is just before Jesus is crucified, before they come and take him away. And it says, on reaching the place, he said to them, Jesus said to them, pray that you will not fall into temptation. He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down, and prayed, Father, if you are willing, take this cup away from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done. An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. You see, church, when Jesus, before he went to the cross, he said, Lord, let your will be done, not my will. Church, Jesus has overcome every fear that you will ever face, and through the Holy Spirit, he has given you the same strength to do so in your life. And so I want to encourage you today, church. God has overcame every fear that you will ever face. And his faithfulness is greater than your depression. His faithfulness is greater than your anxiety. His faithfulness is greater than your loneliness. His faithfulness is greater than anything that is keeping you up at night today. And so, church, that is me. And to end us off, I want to pray for us. I want to pray for two people. People that today feel that they need healing from whatever is keeping them up at night. And for people that either want to give their life for the first time to Jesus or recommit their life to him. And so let us all close our eyes together and pray. Now, if you are here today and you say, you know what, Jesus, I've been facing so much things that are keeping me up at night that I cannot sleep and I'm worried and I'm fearful and I just don't know what to do. I want to pray for you. And in your heart, receive this prayer. Lord, I pray for those who need healing today from whatever is keeping them up at night, that you will heal them, that you will give them strength, that you will give them the courage to surrender all of these things to you, Lord Jesus, that you will make their hearts whole, God. In Jesus' name.